When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We're back here on Sports Talk, getting ready for some prep football playoff action coming up 7 o'clock. We're going to be talking about more NBA action right now. For what, we welcome in Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Nick, it's been a while. How you been doing, man?
Guys, it is great to be back with you. I'm doing fine, and there is a whole lot of stuff to jump into, and I know it starts for y'all in New Orleans.
Oh, man. Nick, it's been rough, man. It has been brutal. Like, it's been way too long, by the way, buddy. It's good to hear your voice, and I can't wait to break it all down with you. The Pelicans' start of the season's just been as bad as anyone could possibly imagine. But it was kind of a glimmer of hope last night, so maybe it's a good luck sign that we're getting you back on the show with that victory against the Phoenix Suns. I mean, you got to start with the injuries to this team in the first month and a half of the season. They were just decimated. And, you know, like, I think there's a picture that goes around on social media from time to time that Laker fans love to use, where it's just a bunch of bums in the starting lineup, and it's just like, oh, I was a Laker fan when this happened. Pelican fans kind of have their own version of that now. It was like a starting lineup with Brandon Boston and Alfred Payton and, like, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Eve Missy. Like, none of their top seven players were playing because they were all out with injury. So if you want to know how they dug a 4-18 hole that's now 5-18 after the win last night, I mean, you just really got to look at who's on the floor.
Completely, and I think I can speak for all Pelicans fans that if you just get Herb Jones back and he can close out the games like he did last night, then everything will be fine. But the reality is, when you watch that team, you have to understand that they're just absolutely decimated, and it's bad luck to a point, and the depth isn't there. But when you have the injuries that they have dealt with, over and over, it just starts to run everybody down. And guys, it's interesting to me because I was actually just down for that Warriors game a couple weeks ago. I went to the practice facility in Metairie, and I'm just watching all the guys who are injured go through the rehab and all the coaches trying to get everybody up and keep the spirits as high as they could possibly be, given this team has struggled so desperately. And when you are losing that much and you are seeing guys that just aren't out there, it wears on everybody. I mean, I think that's one of my biggest takeaways in covering the league for so long. It's that I think a lot of fans forget that these guys are human beings like everybody else. And when you have the injury hits that have taken place over and over again, there's only so much that any coach or anyone else can do. They just don't have the talent to match up. And the only hope is, you get everybody healthy going into a couple months from now, and then you see where things land after that.
Nick, I got a couple of numbers I'm going to throw at you, and I've been kind of previewing this for a while now on the show. The Pelicans with Herb Jones the season 3-2, without Herb Jones 2-16. And then if you go back to the last 2 years, this was on the television broadcast, after the win last night, the Pelicans with Herb Jones in the last two seasons, 49-32, without 5-19. And when I give you those numbers, it feels, and Antonio Daniels made this comment on the broadcast, that feels like someone that's averaging 30 points per game. Like, that feels like an all-NBA level talent that you're missing. He's an all-NBA first-team defender, but this is a guy, and you've heard Trey Murphy say it, you've heard Brandon Ingram say it, the heart and the soul of this Pelicans team is Herb Jones, and they are just not the same without him. He had been out since October 29th. He made his return last night. He is a difference maker despite not being a 30-point-per-game scorer or anything like that.
I couldn't agree anymore, buddy, in what you see when Herb is on the floor and you talk to people in the organization and who are around him day after day after day. While he is never going to get the hype of a Zion or an Ingram or be that type of player, what happens when he's out there on the floor is everybody looks over and they're like, oh, Herb's there. There's almost a sense of relief because they know he can do so many different things, especially the defense, and play at the level that he does. So there's no other way to describe him other than the way that so many have recently. And when you watch the league, you know what you see. And what Herb is, on top of being a great defender, is he is the glue of that group. And if you take away the glue of any group and you start to wonder why they're struggling, well, I mean, he's exactly the type of person that you want to be out there. And you just hope, for the Pelicans' sake, that he can stay out there now that he's back.
When you look at this team, too, obviously a big missing piece is Zion Williamson. We got the latest injury update from him dealing with a hamstring issue that they're going to be reevaluated in another two weeks. And you can imagine fans here are just about fed up with the Zion saga. I thought really things were turning around last year. He had his healthiest season, seemed to be really dedicated to taking care of his body, becoming more of that professional athlete. But things are just not turning out right for him again this season. And I don't know what to make of Zion anymore with this team. What are your thoughts and feeling about his future with this franchise?
It's really sad, frankly, because we all lived it. We all saw the hype, and we saw what he could be, not only coming out into the draft from Duke, but in those games. I mean, guys, I remember being in Brooklyn a couple years ago, I think it was opening night, and Zion was throwing down dunks, and you're looking around and you're going, okay, here it is. But again, I go back to what I just saw, which was, you know, 2 weeks ago at this point. When Zion walked out onto the practice floor, that was the first time I think he had spoken to the media since his latest injury. He just looks big. He looks big, like a guy who got hurt and was like, all right, I'm going to chow down, and I don't feel good, and I'm feeling sorry for myself. And when you see that, given the injuries that have already occurred and what has already piled up, it's sad. It's sad for the Pelicans. It's sad for the league because there was so much hope that Zion was going to be one of those next faces for the NBA, and I just don't believe at this point it's going to happen. And you could say, okay, maybe a change of scenery. Fine, but I think you nailed it. When you have a guy who has as much talent as Zion has, but repeatedly hasn't been able to keep his weight in check and keep his body performing at that same high level that everybody expected when he came into the league, I don't know how it's going to change around now. Because if you keep having those same issues over and over and over again, good luck.
And then, you know, the lack of communication really is the thing that I think is most frustrating to people down here, especially the fan base, is that, you know, he gets caught up with the hamstring injury again, which it feels like every single year. It's like a chronic issue with him. He deals with hamstring issues all the time, and it's because of his size and the power that he plays with. But at the same time, like, nobody knows when he's going to be back, Nick. Nobody knows when he's going to be back in playing shape, when he's going to be back on the floor. Like, that whole thing, Steve, you mentioned, like, the 2 weeks.
Reevaluated in 2 weeks.
It's almost become a joke for a lot of Pelicans fans. It's like a cursed, like, statement.
Right.
Oh, he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. 2 weeks turns into 2 months, and then you're at the All-Star break, and we still don't know what's happening with him. It's as you mentioned, it's sad to see, but that's definitely been the biggest issue is the communication, that nobody knows when he's going to be back on the floor.
Charlie, I think the biggest problem is that nobody trusts that he's able to get back onto the floor and be that type of player without all that weight that we have seen in the past. That is the issue. And the frustration, I was only down there a couple days, but it is palpable because we all know how much talent he has, but that is just the worst thing that can happen in the NBA for any team, but especially in a market like New Orleans that is so desperate to cheer on a star and a player who is supposed to deliver them to a different place and standing within the framework of the league. When you can't trust that your star player is going to be out there night to night, and now we are years into this, and it's the same old story, of course people are just going to roll their eyes and take a sigh each time that this occurs. So the answer is there is no answer. And the answer to the Pelicans' problems is until you move away from Zion, you are going to live in this same cycle that nobody wants to see.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Nick, moving from one star to the other, Brandon Ingram, who played in his first game in basically a week and a half. You know, he popped up with a calf injury, and then it turned out to be like plantar fasciitis. It's just what's really going on here. No one really knows.
More about communication.
Yeah, once again. And Brandon Ingram's missed time in the past as well. It's not just been Zion. B.I.'s also been out for extended periods of time with kind of minor injuries. But Brandon, you know, both of them actually dropped their agencies, and I'll get your thoughts on that as well. But Brandon signing with Clutch, which for a lot of fans down here, people remember what happened with Anthony Davis and Rich Paul. It carries a negative connotation to it. So he signs with Clutch. You know, his name has kind of popped up as a potential trade candidate because they weren't able to come to an extension this past offseason. I remember, Nick, we talked ad nauseum about, you know, what do you even pay Brandon Ingram? And if you do, what kind of asking price should the Pelicans reach? But what do you kind of think of the future for Brandon Ingram with this roster? And if you think that they trade him before the deadline this year?
If I were David Griffin, I'd be on the phone right now, Charlie. And I would say we're out on this whole thing. But that's so much easier said than done always in the league, because we can sit here and go, all right, move him, be done. But if you're not getting the value in return that you feel like you should be, you know, you're setting your team up for failure either way. The second you said Clutch and Pelicans fans.
Nick, man.
Started going, oh, boy.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
The only thought that I had in my mind was, that's all, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
I was there that day when he was asked about the shirt and why did he wear that. I mean, you can feel the writing is on the wall. But the problem, again, and this ties into everything we're saying, the problem for the Pelicans is the reality, especially after all these injuries, is you should just hit the button. And it's just, again, it's sad for a team that is so desperate to make all these stars work together, and it seems like they have the pieces, but for a variety of reasons, it's not happening. But I, as far as Ingram goes specifically, I absolutely would move him prior to the deadline. But, and that is always the caveat, when you are trying to make a deal in the league and you don't feel like you're getting enough back, I'm not sure where you turn. And the reality is, if you are a front office person or a coach, it's probably going to be somebody else's problem sooner than later.
Well, the Pelicans have stood out for the wrong reason in the Western Conference. Curious, Nick, your opinion on who you think are the bright spots in this division. Obviously, the OKC Thunder, a stock team, and what do you know, the Pelicans got to play them next. But what else has really impressed you this season from the West?
It's got to be the Thunder, and it feels like the Thunder are set up, and people will point to Sam Presti, of course, for making the moves. The move that jumped out to me and lots of people around the league was for Caruso. I mean, if you have that kind of defender on top of young pieces that they already have, you are really in a good space. Can they be the team that people want them to be? And can Shai Gilgeous-Alexander find the help he's going to need over and over again in the playoffs when he's getting doubled and teams are focusing their entire defense around him? We're going to see. We're going to see if those periphery guys can be that difference-making force that Oklahoma City's going to have. I mean, after that, I've watched Golden State a few times the last couple of weeks. They're always going to scare you with Steph, but they've got their injury problems, and it seems like they've hit a little bit of a wall here in the last week or two. After that, I really think it is wide open. I mean, people will look at Dallas with Luka and Kyrie, and they'll say, all right, well, you can't count out Denver. They have Jokic, but Jamal Murray just doesn't seem like he's the same player that we're seeing a few years ago. I think it's up there for somebody to take, but as far as the early impressions, I feel like it's Oklahoma City and everybody else in that conference.
In the Eastern Conference, Nick, I don't want to say that we were right about the 76ers, but man,
we were right.
Man, we were right about the 76ers. They're an absolute disaster. If you look at Washington at 2-18, everyone expected them to be bad, but second worst in the Eastern Conference, the Philadelphia 76ers at 5-15. I think Joel Embiid's only played four games this season, but this is a two-parter because I want to get your thoughts on that so we can do kind of a victory lap there about their ridiculous offseason. But also the Orlando Magic, who are number three in the Eastern Conference behind only Cleveland, who got off to an incredible start, and Boston, the reigning champion. Orlando lost Paolo Banchero five games into the season. And Franz Wagner, who I think is on the NBA's updated MVP ladder, I think is number six. And a lot of people would kind of bat their eyes at that. But man, Franz Wagner and the Orlando Magic, without their superstar talent in Paolo Banchero, has been awesome this year. 16-8 record. I think they went on a stretch where they won like 11 of 12 games. They've been just incredible when everyone kind of pinned them for dead in the water once that injury came out.
Charlie, I mean, I grew up in Orlando. And what I can tell you anecdotally is that my friends who haven't really paid attention since Shaq and Penny are kind of looking at each other going, okay,
team
might actually be something again. I know they had that little run with Dwight and Stan Van Gundy, but it feels like a younger group that is finding its way. And that's all you can hope for when you have Banchero and you have Wagner and you hope that the stars are making the other guys around them better. Is it sustainable what they're doing? Again, it's all measured through the prism of the postseason. We're going to see. But when so many people kind of looked at that deal that the Magic gave Wagner over the summer and they said, Franz Wagner for $50 million, whatever that number is, that's that's insane. There's no way he didn't hear that and get pissed off and go, all right, I'm going to show people that I am, in fact, a great player, and I can carry the team when our star is down for a little bit. So as far as the Magic go, the future remains bright. As far as Philly goes, if you're Daryl Morey, guys, we're sitting here talking about the Pelicans and they're a mess and what should they do. What in the hell, if you're a Philadelphia 76er fan or you're in that front office, can you point to positively and go, yeah, it'll all be okay once everybody comes together? I didn't think that the Sixers were ever going to get there with Embiid because I didn't think he could stay on the floor long enough. And they signed Paul George. He's going through injuries of his own. I know people like Maxi, but I flatly don't think this is all going to work. And, Charlie, it's what we were saying for months, not only in the playoffs last season, but all along. This is a good team on paper, but being a good team on paper and being a great team in real life are two vastly different things.
Nick, definitely always appreciate your time and hearing from you. Next time you're down in these parts, give us a shout for sure. We'll buy you a po' boy.
I love it. I will for sure. And, guys, it is great hearing you both. And I look forward to talking to you later.
Thanks, Nick. Take it easy.
That's Nick Friedel, Odyssey NBA Insider. Always great stuff.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.